Once we understand the very essence of being called a customer, which is in the form of opening an account, we have to understand who is the consumer of a service. Is the customer and the consumer one and the same? In this case, one is a consumer of services offered by a bank, but not a banking customer. When I am saying in this cases, that is the previous case of getting a demand draft by paying some charges or changing the currency again by paying some charges. Such services cannot be termed as banking services. It simply means whoever the consumer is consuming a service offered by the bank in the form of issue of demand draft or conversion of a currency or a foreign currency into a local currency, and hence it won't be called a banking service. It won't allow us to call such individuals as customers, and such individuals will be called simply consumers of services offered by the bank. So, friends, try to understand the difference between a consumer and a customer. This becomes very important when we decide upon performing our obligations as a banker towards our customer, our rights as a banker towards our customer, our duties as a banker towards our customer. Unless we differentiate between a consumer and a customer, it would not allow us to perform our rights, duties and obligation in a very, very transparent manner. In a very important case of Commissioner of Taxation versus English, Scottish and Australian Bank, the contrast was clearly apparent, in which it was stated as the contrast is not between a person for whom the bank performs a casual service. Example, cashing a check for a person introduced by one of their customer and a person who has an account of his own at the bank. The contrast is not between this. The word customer signifies the relationship. So the relationship is very important in deciding whether we can consider a person as a customer or not. So the word customer signifies the relationship in which the duration is not of essence. A person whose money has been accepted by the bank on the footing that they undertake to honor the checks up to the balance in account was a customer, irrespective of whether the connection is short or long. So this has been very clearly established by now. The relationship is what matters, not the duration. The banking service is what it matters, not the casual services. This has to be clearly understood in the mind for understanding the meaning of a customer. Having seen the importance of a relationship between a banker and a customer, we have to understand at what point of time this relationship starts. Does this relationship start when the customer or a person enters into a branch, picks up the brochures, tries to understand the different features of the product, or when he actually fills in the account opening form, deposits money for crediting to his account, that becomes very essential to understand at what point of time does the relationship starts. The relationship between a banker and a customer does not start from the date of opening the account. This relationship starts as soon as it is agreed upon to open an account or the bank accepts instruction to do so. To open an account is mere formality. The moment the bank agrees to open an account, the moment the bank accepts the instructions to open an account, the relationship starts between a banker and the customer. In the case of Woods versus Martin's Bank, Justice Solomon stated, "In my view, the defendant bank accepted the instructions contained in the letter as the plaintiff's bankers, and at any rate from that date the relationship of a banker and a customer existed between them." So there is no question of any doubt. The conclusion is that when there are negotiations from which it could be inferred that the bank would be willing to open an account, and there is a likelihood that the account would be opened, number one, there is a negotiation, and there is a likelihood that the account will be opened, which means all the documents required for opening the account has been submitted. The money which is required to be deposited in the account has been given to the banker, which clearly means there is a likelihood of the account will get open. The relationship of the banker and the customer starts immediately. There is no further waiting period in that. In Lord Chorley, in the lectures of Gilbert, it was stated by Lord Chorley in the Gilbert lectures that the contract on which the relationship between a banker and a customer is founded comes into existence in just the same way as any other contract. A banking contract or any other contract is a contract. So, it comes into existence, the starting point for a contract is an offer which gets culminated into an acceptance of an offer, and once an acceptance of an offer made by one party to open a current or a deposit account happens, and an acceptance by the other of such an offer happens, where that has occurred, an account exists after the agreement has been reached, and once this agreement has been reached, it becomes binding in law. You cannot go back on it and say, no, he was not a customer. The moment the offer is given, the moment the offer has been accepted, the moment an agreement has been arrived, the relationship gets established. In Official Assignee versus Nathesan Pillai, it was held that the fact that a person had no prior banking transaction with the bank would not by itself exclude the possibility of his becoming a customer when he has paid the amount. This again supports the duration theory. You don't have to have regular transaction. Hence, no prior banking transaction with the bank would not deny the fact or would not by itself exclude the possibility of his becoming a customer when he has paid the amount. Why are we talking about so much in terms of the contractual arrangement, the offer and acceptance? Why is a banker required to see all those legalities from a very important point of view? Only and only if he clearly understands the legality, implements the requirement as per the legality, then and then only he will get certain protections available to the bank as mentioned under the law, and hence there is a specific responsibility of a bank who is collecting the checks or bills on behalf of his customer, and if he has followed all the requirements for opening an account, then and then only he will get the protection of a collecting banker. So collecting bank can be held negligent for opening an account without a proper inquiry and without the case of making due inquiry. Nowadays we have very, very clear KYC, know your customer norms. Without obtaining the proof of identity, without obtaining the proof of address, without understanding the purpose for which the account is opened, it goes to an extent of profiling the customer from the risk management point of view. The bank has to follow so many requisites before opening an account, which only makes him eligible for claiming protections if at all any irregularity or any misdoings happens in the account. So friends, responsibility of collecting banker is very important, and this comes to the bank the moment it decides to open an account. Hence, before accepting anybody as a customer, the banker has to make various inquiries either orally or by taking various documents prescribed under law, so that a proper relationship is established between a banker and a customer. In the case of Ledbrock and Company versus Todd, a thief had opened an account with a stolen check. The bank was held negligent in not taking reasonable precautions to safeguard the true owner of the check. This is a fantastic example of punishing a bank who was negligent in opening an account. It did not even bother to check the credentials of a thief, whether a person can really have such a check in his name, whether he has a proper backing in the form of proof of identity, in the form of proof of address. And hence the punishment came in the form of the court giving a judgment against the bank and had to reimburse the real customer. Indian Bank was held negligent in this particular case. A banker need not play the role of a master. He need not play a role of a detective. Just put a microscopic lens on the customer, dissect everything out of him. A banker is not expected to play that detective role. A banker need not play the role of a master detective and subject a prospective customer to a grueling examination about his status, creditworthiness, business experience, etc., before permitting him to open an account. But what is expected from a banker is when a person is introduced by a casual acquaintance, a banker is expected to make more inquiries than usual to test the creditworthiness of the prospective customer before permitting him to open an account. And friends, this comes simply by your common sense. The way the appearance of a customer, whatever business he is trying to do or is doing, whatever transaction he is doing, if you apply a little bit of mind, that is what is expected from a banker, but not a detective role or a grueling examination of a prospective customer. And most of it comes by practice when you start dealing with your customer. The same way we come into acquaintance or we deal with so many people, whether our known friends or strangers, we need to follow certain criteria of dealing with known friends as well as strangers. The same thing a banker is expected to do when he deals with anybody for the first time, and that first time is such an important thing wherein a contract is established and rights and liabilities would be clearly defined or coming out of such a contract. Whether a person who discounts a bill is a customer, this matter came up, and Sir John Paget had an answer for this. What he said was, a continued practice of bills discounting by the bank would make the person a customer. Continued practice is what matters, according to Sir John Paget. As the need of an account is imperative, if the proceeds of the bills discounted are credited to the account of the person, then definitely he would be a customer. Just because he is doing bills discounting, we will not be able to say that he is not a customer, because number one, he is doing it as a regular practice, and secondly, the proceeds of the discounted bill are credited to the account, and hence the person can be called customer. In Importers Bank Limited versus Westminster Bank Limited, the Importers Bank Limited was not a clearing bank and used Westminster Bank Limited to clear its checks. So it took some help of some sort of correspondent bank. In this case, Justice Atkins stated, it seems to me that if a non-clearing bank regularly employs a clearing bank, like in the previous slide of bill discounting, a regular activity, to clear its checks, the non-clearing banker is the customer of the clearing bank. This case, as well as in the previous slide, we have seen the importance of regularity for considering whether that entity is a customer or not. Ashkenazy versus Midland Bank Limited, it was held that the mere deposit by a bank with another bank of a sum of money with instructions to remit it to another party does not make the depositor bank a customer of remitting bank. It is simply an agency arrangement on behalf of the depositing bank, and hence such depositing bank will not be called as a customer. So we are trying to understand the various colors of a customer as well as a non-customer, and this we have to simply gather because it is not simply defined in law. So if at all we have to decide whether any entity is a customer or not, we have to take help of all this expert's opinion, the decisions given by various courts, and our day-to-day experience. There is a statutory protection under section 131 and 131A of your Negotiable Instruments Act, which says that a customer of one branch of a bank is not for the purpose of another branch of the same bank where he does not maintain any account. This may not be applicable in the case of our core banking, wherein every customer is connected with a central software. But when we are talking in context of your manual banking, wherein each branch maintained account of its customer separately, there a customer of one branch of a bank is not for the purpose of another branch of the same bank where he does not maintain any account, the bank cannot claim statutory protection under section 131 and 131A of the Negotiable Instruments Act. RBI has given a definition of a customer. What it says, a person or an entity that maintains an account and or has a business relationship with a bank. So the important criteria over here is, it can be a person or entity, but what is important is he maintains an account, and after maintaining an account, he has a business relationship with the bank, which means either depositing money or taking loan. One on whose behalf the account is maintained, beneficiaries of transactions conducted by the professional intermediaries. Now, this is a very special case wherein there are some intermediaries such as your stockbrokers, chartered accountants, solicitors who are permitted under the law to open accounts on behalf of their clients. Any person or entity connected with a financial transaction which can pose significant reputational or other risk to the bank. So, all this comprises in the inclusive definition of a customer given by the Reserve Bank of India. If we have to conclude on the meaning of a customer, we can say a customer is one who maintains some sort of deposit account or borrowing account with a bank. That is very important. He has to maintain an account. Length of time the account has existed is of no consequence. We have seen the overruling of the duration theory. Even one-off transaction, single transaction will declare him as a customer. It does not matter whether it is a deposit or a borrowable account, because the depositor as well as the borrower will be called the customer. We have seen this in various definitions also. The customer-banker relationship can exist between two bankers also. It need not exists between a banker and an individual or a non-individual. One banker can open an account with another bank, and hence the relationship can exist between two bankers also. A consumer of banking service, like we have seen in examples of a purchaser of a demand draft, person who wants to change his foreign currency into local currency, he is simply a consumer of service. A consumer of banking service is not a customer of a bank. He will be simply called a consumer, the intent to open an account can result into a customer-banker relationship. When we say the intent, all the formalities to open an account are completed. The banker has accepted the instructions to open an account. There is every likelihood that the account is going to be opened. The intent has been clearly established, and that gives rise to the start of a customer and a banker relationship. A customer of one branch is not a customer of another branch where he does not maintain an account. This specifically holds true in case of your manual banking, but may not hold true in case of your electronic core banking in the current scenario. So friends, we have seen a very important aspect connected with the banking. When we talk about banking, it is imperative to understand who all are dealing with banking. It is not just the banker who does banking. If a banker has no customers, he cannot do his banking business, and hence the customer is the lifeblood of a banking business, and hence we need to understand who a customer is and who is not a customer, which means who a consumer is. And this has been clearly understood in this chapter with the help of various definitions provided by the experts as well as various decisions given by the high courts. We take help of the expert opinion as well as the decisions given by the court as well as whatever inclusive definitions we have in our Negotiable Instruments Act, in our Banking Regulation Act, to be crystal clear with the real meaning of a customer. And this is going to be very important for understanding our next chapters, because in our next chapter we are going to understand what are the requirements an individual or a non-individual have to comply in order to become a customer. Thanks a lot. That ends our chapter 11. Thank you.